Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
And today we have two guests with us from Open Doors, Nate Riddle and Melissa Walcott. How are you all doing today?
Doing good, thank you.
Doing well. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's good to have you all here. I know that there's lots of exciting things that you all want to share with us, with the community, about what's happening at Open Doors. But I thought maybe we could just get started and hear a little bit about your heart for the population that you work with, and tell us a little bit about yourselves before we get into the ministry.
Yeah, well, I can go first. I got attracted to Open Doors through the call to service, right? I think I've shared prior with our guest here on the podcast that I have served in higher education, I served in healthcare, and really reached a point in my young professional career where I realized I wasn't as close to the ground as I wanted to be. You know, you're serving the community, but you're not serving the community like we are in a small nonprofit. So I stepped out in faith, looked out for some open positions, and Open Doors was there. And the faith community that I'm a part of, we had served Open Doors throughout my, you know, childhood and in the recent years to when I was looking, saw the opportunity and thought we'd seize it. And here I am today, 2.5 years later.
That is awesome. And you're smiling and you look rested.
You got me on a good day. I think I'm doing well, right? I need some rejuvenation. We're here on a Monday recording.
That's right.
So that gave me the weekend to relax. But it is good work. And I think in a lot of work, you're rejuvenated by what you're doing. You're
That's
often
right.
more blessed by others when you see your impact.
Yeah.
And so I find comfort and a lot of energy in that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And how about you, Melissa?
Well, thank you. I've been the development director for Open Doors since July of last year. Before July, I actually was just working for different nonprofits in the pregnancy crisis sector, veteran suicide prevention, after school programs. And so I did grants mostly, but also development work. And in addition to that, just taking care of my four beautiful children.
Mm.
So the transition to full-time employment was with Open Doors. Mm. So it was a big change for me, but it was very exciting because of the experience I had. What really drove me to just pursue the work of Open Doors, not only was obviously the match with my job description, but as a child, I experienced homelessness with my mom and my two siblings. And having experienced that, knowing what other people go through and what it was like as a child, I just felt like wherever I go to work for full time, wherever I transition this change in my life to, I want to make sure that it's going to be something that I value, that it's impactful, and something that I can relate to and be a voice for. So now I get to talk with donors about, raising. So now I have the opportunity to share about the mission of Open Doors, to fundraise, to help raise awareness about the need that's there, and all the while remembering where I came from.
Mm-hmm.
So it's close to my heart, and I can certainly share more if it ever evolves to that, but that's why it's important to me.
Yeah, usually there's a connection, and to be able to get back to that place where you feel like you understand,
right.
You have a level of understanding and thinking about you serving from the service side of things
right.
and you from the experience makes a beautiful partnership because
right.
bringing those gifts to the table, that's just full circle. I remember someone saying to me, I was saying how grateful I was to be a part of something. They're like, you know what? That's just full healing. When you're able to do that work now.
Right.
And so I see that. It's in your countenance.
Thank you.
That's really cool.
Yeah, you can
give back.
You can relate to them because maybe even though your situation might not have been exactly the same, it was similar enough that you can kind of maybe see yourself in them. And like Pastor Margaret talked about, the full circle, kind of like giving back, so to speak.
Well, and even because my situation was different and I was a child, And most of the individuals Open Doors serves are, you know, single individuals. Right. But those individuals were like what my mom was back when I was a kid, you know, just the battles that she went through and the challenges that she faced. And, you know, even on the flip side, the people that she reached out to for help. So it was different, but the trauma of it too, and just the experience of, you know, having stability and then having that ripped away, you know, that is similar, that pain. So, yeah, I've never experienced it as an adult, but I know that it's a difficult place to be in. And there's somebody, somebody.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So true. So could you all give us just the history of Open Doors? For those that haven't heard about Open Doors before, maybe this is the first time they're hearing about it. When did that start?
Yeah, well, Open Doors has been around for 17 years now. We didn't start as Open Doors. We started as Harrisonburg and Rockingham Thermal Shelter, so most people knew us as HEARTS. We were started from an interfaith movement, so we have deep roots in the faith community after a cold weather injury occurred in our community. You know, from 2007 up until COVID, we really only operated 6 months out of the year. We rotated from location to location, typically a faith community, served 20 to 30 individuals, and our goal was that critical thermal shelter. When shelter is the most needed is when it's the coldest, and so that's the November to April period.
Right.
COVID came around, right, and we all recognized how burdened the community was, regardless of your social status, beyond housed or unhoused. But when unhoused individuals were unhoused in the pandemic, there was this growing concern, right? These people need care all year round. And so Open Doors, various other community partners, and the city came along and really ensured there was continuous shelter. So during COVID, we operated continuously. That was the first time in our history that we had done so. We added resource coordination about 2 years ago, which is our housing-focused, long-term solution-based case management. Street outreach last year that we will probably continue at some level for the rest of our existence is the hope anyways. So we've really transformed from a shelter provider now to really a human services provider with a shelter program. We're also convener of many collaborations. We can't do this alone. So 17 years of deeply rooted community service.
Yeah. And so you purchased a building, and that's been a little bit of a journey, I would say.
Yeah. So we entered a public-private partnership with the city of Harrisonburg. So the city actually owns the building. They've contracted us to operate it on their behalf. So they're really our landlord, the facilities management organization. But the collaborations we brought to the table, we organized those. We fully managed the shelter program. And so that opened just in December. It's been a long process getting to this point. That was made from a generous contribution by the Shenandoah Presbytery. Wasn't a completely donated building, but sold well below market value. And their restrictions that when they sold it was it had to be used for a homeless shelter for at least 10 years. But if you were to come visit us now in the Navigation Center, you can see we've invested in it in a such a way beyond 10 years. It will be there for the unhoused community.
That's great. Wow. And so you came on in July, I believe. And so what is your, like, you've been there a few months. Well, been there a half a year, right? What does your role look like there?
Yeah, so as the inaugural development director, there's a lot of opportunity for that role to grow and evolve into what we feel is best. But the primary goal is to build partnerships in the community with donors, churches, businesses, corporations, with this expansion that's taken place and the capacity that's doubled, more than ever do we need to build those partnerships. So my role in that is making those connections, but also inviting people along in the journey of funding this mission. It's not an easy thing to do, but, you know, I've been really blessed to see this community really respond in such organic ways. We have tons of groups from JMU that'll just come to us and say, hey, we've decided to support you guys. We didn't ask. We have other groups in the community, different clubs and civic groups say, we've selected you guys. We'll get checks in the mail where they just said, hey, we've selected you this year or this month because we like the work that you're doing. We see the change that it's making. So I get the privilege of, you know, seeing that firsthand and then cultivating that relationship once it's there, or if we have that relationship, trying to help people to see what their investment looks like in the people in the community and in the mission itself. So it's evolving, and there's a lot of work. We did our year-end campaign, which we called the Plant Our Roots campaign, and that was with our transition to the Navigation Center. We saw a lot of success in that, and a lot of people respond to that. We also started a campaign called the One Bed Campaign. With our expansion and the different expenses associated with doubling the amount of people that we're serving nightly, the estimated cost is about $8 per individual per night.
Wow.
And we serve about 80 to 90 people a night. And so the one bed campaign is about like, hey, I can do a bed. So I'm going to donate $8 a month. Or, you know what? I can do two beds. I'm going to donate 16 or however on. But we launched that on Giving Tuesday, and we saw a good response from that, which we hope will grow. But in bite-sized pieces, helping people to see that you don't have to be a philanthropist to give to a cause like this. You can give up, you know, a cup of coffee or a fast food lunch to provide a warm bed to an individual for one night, or maybe more, depending on what you choose to do. But
Yeah, it's something that most people can look at that and go, well, I could do that. I could give up a meal or an expensive cup of Starbucks coffee, right?
Yeah.
To make a difference in the community. And when you put it into that, where we can see, we could have this for ourselves, or this could be a good night's rest for someone else, is a great, great example. You all have been talking about the Navigation Center. You all want to talk about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to hear.
Yeah. Well, it's really important to note that the Navigation Center is the building. Again, as we said, Open Doors is the operator. We're doing the program, but that's the building's name or the project's name. We have two programs that really exist in that facility. That is, one, our low barrier shelter program, which provides overnight shelter and, importantly, now year-round. So we won't stop in April as we used to, and we won't start in November. It's in perpetuity now. And that serves 80 individuals at night. We've been full since we've opened. It expands during inclement weather. That's when we get to the 87 to 90 range. We can go up to 100. The need hasn't presented at that level yet. And folks in that shelter program have access to computers and Wi-Fi to transition. They may need to apply for a job. They have access to our case management and a variety of other resources that we've acquired around the facility. We have laundry. We have we provide a warm meal at night, and it just gives them that stability of having a place to sleep. Not knowing where you are going to sleep every night can be very stressful, right? Yeah. So homelessness is already a traumatic experience, and it is even more traumatic, even more so when you don't know where you're going to sleep or if you're fearing the elements. So that's our staple program that continues but has expanded with our daily impact via the capacity and our year-round impact now, since we are providing shelter all year round. We also have a daytime drop-in center, and that's our newest program. That is us with resource navigation. You know, there are a variety of resources around our community, but there's no one place that you can contact or go to get handed off warmly to that resource. Or to access it on site. So we have three options that we've really tried to build out here, and they are focused on the unhoused or housing insecure population, but we also have other services that aren't. So Mercy House is on site with us, Strength and Peers, Sentara, Suitcase Clinic, all great providers that are there to serve. You can see them there. You could maybe come back on a Tuesday because maybe they're there only once a week, or we can refer you. If it's the United Way on Mason Street, then you can come or call us, and we'll refer you there with a warm handoff. And so that's our Monday through Friday program. Folks also have daytime access to those showers and laundry and computers and Wi-Fi. So if you're sleeping in a car, or if you live in the county and don't have reliable access to water or heating and cooling, you can come there to get a hot shower. So we've expanded beyond the unhoused. We say people experiencing other hardships. And that's not just people that are 18 years or older. That's like in our shelter program, right? You have to be 18 years or older. But the daytime drop-in center, it could be Susie and her two children. If there's a Susie listening, I'm sorry. She's my go-to, right? Susie and two children. And Bob, if we're talking about a guy.
Yeah, that's right.
So we've really expanded our mission in that way as well.
I don't know if I've shared this previously when we had you on, Nate, for Open Doors, but I first was introduced to Open Doors. I don't even remember what year it was, but it was back probably 8-10 years ago. Our small group, our life, we call them life groups here, we would do service projects, and there was a couple in our life group who his parents, they were at another church, and they were involved with scheduling groups to provide, to bring meals in the evenings. And, you know, every semester seemed like at least once a year, sometimes twice a year, our group would sign up and different people in the group would sign up to bring different stuff for that meal that night for Open Doors. And so it's just, and the people are very appreciative of the willingness, and you just, you get to interact with them too. You don't just, at least from what I remember, maybe it's different now, but just getting to interact and talk and sit, and it was just, it was really impactful and really just a great ministry, like you said, at the ground level is a great way to explain it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that socialization is so undervalued. A lot of times folks don't feel like they're doing enough by just serving a meal, or when we have game nights, just coming to play a game. But that social piece is so big. We hear often from our guests, and this isn't unique to our community, but people feel unseen. And so anytime a volunteer group comes in on Monday and maybe the next Monday, and they remember Bob's name and they remember Bob's story, boy, what that does for the person individually. And so there is no too small of a way to get involved. That meal service, that socialization goes a long way in that individual's journey as well.
Yeah, I know. I just remember times when it was at Red Front. And we would serve the meal, but then to see – someone out sitting at a table having that one-on-one conversation with one of the residents of Open Doors always warmed my heart, because really presence is the thing that we have to give. Showing up matters. And so this is a great place to show up. And, you know, many people that I've seen there, I see in town, you know, and can make those connections, and they do love it when you remember their name. That means so much. And so I know that there is an opportunity for people to come in and to cook. So maybe just share with us, like, how, if there's maybe a church group that's listening, or church that wants to be involved, it's not been involved before, or maybe they've been before and it's a new day. So tell us what that looks like.
Yeah, well, the kitchen program is our most fluid program, I tell you. We have had a very difficult time finding a kitchen manager. We now have this fully commercial or near fully commercial kitchen on site. We need someone to manage that. Okay. We're in the process for the third time now of finding someone there to usher and steward this program well. So today, if you were to sign up, what you would do is serve a meal that's already been prepared by a contractor that we have, and that's a very temporary arrangement. What we have to ensure is that we have the sustainability and the reliability, so we've went ahead and gone out on a limb to establish a contract there. That comes with an increased expense, of course, so then we get back into that development range. But once we have our kitchen manager, volunteer groups will be able to come and participate on a spectrum, right? Mm-hmm. They could come and cook alongside that kitchen manager. So they would be cooking on site, so they could bring a whole group. They could sign up individually, which is something that we haven't really had in the past, as an opportunity for individuals to sign up. It's always been bring a group. And then they also can just come and serve and clean, and not just in the way, but they don't have to worry about cooking the meal as well. If they can't cook for 80 people, that's fine. There's a place for them as well. But that's when we get that kitchen manager. So our hope is to have that within the next month or two, that person. But yes, meal service is one of the, it's by far one of the biggest ways to get involved from a volunteer perspective. We also have a monthly shelter cleaning. We're doing cleaning all throughout, right? But that's just another layer where we offer group or individual opportunities to come help clean the shelter, do a deep clean with us, because we're not moving, right?
That's so we,
we have about three different layers of cleaning, but big volunteer groups to come in during the day is one of those.
And so can children come to that?
So cleaning is 16 and older.
Okay.
Meals, because it's while the shelter is active, is 18 years and older. And then we have other various one-offs that are posted as needed that will – anything that's before 6 p.m. and after 7 a.m., minors can come to, of course, with a responsible adult. So like shelter organizing, things like that. We've partnered with local high schools, MTC and such. We just have a lot more limited options for minors. But that cleaning program is 16 and older.
Okay.
Very good. And what is your all's website or best way for them to get in contact with either of you as far as getting involved with any of these opportunities?
We've talked. Giving money.
Yes.
Or giving money.
Well, you can do all of the above at valleyopendoors.org. And from there, you would be able to give and to see the volunteer opportunities. Then our contact information is also online. We can also be reached at 540-705-1908. And sometimes we feel like a call center because the resource center is such a need that we're getting a lot more calls. It just speaks to the need. So leave a voicemail, of course, if we don't answer, and we'll return that. But valleyopendoors.org.
Would you all have a Bob or a Susie story? Just a story that shows what happens when someone comes and engages the program and engages those resources, yeah. And a story of hope.
Yeah. Do you want to share Stephen's story, or do you want me to?
You can.
Okay.
You know it better. Sorry.
Well, Stephen is his real name. He is one of the few that have given us permission to share his story. Of course, there's a lot of stigma around homelessness and what folks are experiencing, a lot of stereotypes. And so we often don't have guests that are really willing to come forth. Mm-hmm. He also tells us in his own words online, so you can watch that on our YouTube or on our website. But Stephen tells a story of a life of trauma in his home, which he grew up, I believe, in Page County. His dad was abusive. He experienced a lot of adverse childhood experiences, which really led to this cycle of struggles with mental illness. And Stephen struggled with that all throughout his life, suicidal ideation, just mental health episodes that really set him back throughout this life roller coaster that he really shares about. He had deployment. In northern Shenandoah Valley. He lost that after there were some, what he says, are false allegations made by his employer, which really led to a backslide. He lost that employment, experienced exacerbated mental health illnesses, and was discharged from the hospital and found his way to Open Doors. He had made his way down at this point. He had been admitted to this local facility, but he was then discharged to us. He talks about his experience being favorable along the way, right? Those volunteers, he actually has still relationships, still gets taken to a church service, to, as far as I'm aware, from one of the groups that we had serving meals. They take him to a study every week. They see him in his apartment because he is housed now, as we'll get to. But he was brought in. He was radically welcomed. Kindness, compassion, those are two of our values. We expect to see that in our volunteers, in our staff. He got connected with our resource team, our resource coordination. They carried his case, connected with one of our partnerships at the Community Services Board, and they've gotten him enrolled in what's called permanent supportive housing. So that's housing in perpetuity. That's case management in perpetuity through the Community Services Board, and he's still housed in the city today. We see him, and it's always a positive improvement and in interaction. So that's someone that all throughout their life has struggled. Mm-hmm. It led to homelessness. And then he comes here. He's radically welcomed. He's connected with the volunteers that still saw him in the shelter that day that was serving a meal. That's what they were doing. And then got connected with a resource that has been his long-term solution.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
It's amazing if someone feels seen and has an opportunity to engage resources, the difference it can make. In a life.
Anything else y'all want to share that we haven't asked you already, or that you haven't shared already, or if you have any other generic, she called him Bob or Susie, but generic stories that you would like to share of how Open Doors is bringing hope. We call this program Hope Talks, and so this ministry is bringing hope to people in maybe seemingly hopeless situations.
Yeah, well, we often say we're rushing people to the bottom of the wait list, right? Because there are so few resources as far as housing and so forth. And you know, every guest is welcomed into our program, and they get that resource coordination. And sometimes that's just connecting them with a specialist, as we'll call it. Every organization has their specialty. And so, you know, we are very intentional about seeing each individual as that. Everyone's exit out of homelessness is going to be very unique. Some people are going to need mental health counseling along with it, or substance use counseling. Some people are just going to need to know where to go to apply for the voucher, and then they wait for that voucher to be able to be used. So I think we see a lot of hope that is sparked in our guests when they realize someone's there just to navigate the system with them. Sometimes we're not even carrying the case. We're just making it accessible, making it a bite-sized adventure. It's ups and downs. It can be discouraging, but we're there along the way to help them navigate that and come out positively.
And I think when the guests enter, they are surviving.
Yes.
They are getting, the main concern is a place to sleep, a meal to eat. And for them to be able to get beyond that and see that, wait, I can do more than just survive. I can thrive. I can live beyond this. I know there's joy when that happens, as with Steve.
Yes.
Yeah.
If it's okay, yeah, I'll share about something coming up at the end of February. And it goes very well with everything we've been talking about, but we are going to be holding our first ever 5K and 2K event. It's called Coldest Night of the Year. It's not the typical time that most, you know, organizations or groups will put on a 5K. It is an evening event, but the theme behind it, Coldest Night of the Year, so that we can really empathize with the guests that we're serving and the mission of Open Doors. So if it's okay, I wanted to share a little couple like phrases about our cause with Coldest Night of the Year. I just felt like it was really beautiful. But it says, "We walk through the cold and the dark in February to declare our concern for people who have no home and take shelter in nooks and crannies. We walk for those whose days are a battle to house and to feed their families, and for whose nights are filled with fear and frustration. We walk for those driven from home by violence and abuse, and we walk for people overwhelmed by isolation, guilt, and despair. We walk humbly, realizing that anyone can lose their footing and then lose everything else." And so I just wanted to share that because that's why we're putting this event on. It's to raise awareness, but also to fundraise. And so we need as many people to come out as possible and to walk with us. And the way that you can do that is by visiting our website. You can sign up and register. The event is February 22nd. It's at the Rockingham County Fairgrounds, and it's at 4 o'clock. Check-in begins at 4. Now, you're going to want to register before the event because when you register, you're going to get a special personalized page that you can share with your network to do the fundraising. So that page is unique to you or to your team if you join a team. And that page you can email, text, put on your social media, and you can set whatever goal amount you want to raise, but then your network can donate to that page to support Open Doors. And so all the funds stay local, and then we celebrate by doing that 5K and 2K that night. And then also we're not going to send you off without warming you up. So that evening we hope to serve soup and cocoa and coffee and just make it a really nice time of fellowship as well. So we're just trying to spread the word about, you know, our newest event coming up, and just invite people to invest in the work of Open Doors in that way. Whether you walk, support a walker.
All right. Yep. That's great. Thank you for sharing that. And a great way to partner in whichever way feels best. Actually, as you were talking, I thought a light bulb come on for me. So we'll talk about that.
Right. They call it a winterific. Isn't that what they call it?
Winterific.
A winter terrific event or something like that.
Well, Pastor Margaret, do you mind saying a prayer for Open Doors and their ministry in closing?
Absolutely. Thanks. Father, today I'm grateful to sit at the table with Nate and Melissa and knowing that you've called them to this work and you've gifted them to do the job that they're doing. And so, Father, I just ask that you would just protect Open Doors. I pray for this event that we talked about, Coldest Night of the Year. Father, I just pray that you would make that an event that our community can come around. And even though there's not a lot of time from this recording until the event, I am sure there's plenty of time to get involved. And so I pray for an outpouring of our community just to come and to be a part of that. And I just pray over the Navigation Center, over every bed, over every nonprofit that is there working alongside Open Doors, that you would give wisdom and clarity and how to work with every person uniquely, individually, and that each guest that would walk through the doors would sense that they are seen and loved and cared for, and that you would just enlarge their vision for who they can be with the support and the services that are provided there. And I just thank you in advance for the stories that will come from this outreach and very important nonprofit work in our community. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Nate and Melissa, thank you both for joining us today. It's been great to have you all.
Thank you. It was nice to meet you. Appreciate the privilege.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard us talk with Nate Riddle and Melissa Walcott from Valley Open Doors, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.